We're so glad that you joined us today for this podcast from Bishop Quentin Moore and the Father's House in Hutchinson, Kansas. God loves you and wants the best for you, and we want to hear what God is doing in your life. Share your story with us by sending an email to mystory@fathershouse.net. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at fathershouse.net/give. Just select the option that works for you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
You got a Bible? Seriously. I mean, you got one? Need to get one of them. They're pretty good things. If you don't have one, how many have a phone? I just saw statistics that said more people have a phone than have Bibles. And I thought, no, if you have a phone, you have a Bible. How many of you know you can download a Bible on your phone? So if you've got a phone and you don't have a Bible, you don't know what you got. It's in your phone. And you can read, you can follow right along there, YouVersion, download it, and you can, I mean, years ago when people started looking at their phone while I was preaching, I thought they were being silly. Now I realize they're taking notes, they're following right along with me, and it's kind of interesting. So everybody has a Bible, so either hold up your Bible or hold up your phone. It doesn't matter, just hold it way up and say, this is the Word of God. It is what He says it is. I am who He says I am. I can do what He says I can do. How many know He says stuff in there about who you are and what you can do? How many know you ought to read it? Say with me, it is who I am who He says I am. I can do what He says I can do. Say greater things. How many of you know that you act the way you feel? How many really know this? Yeah, did you know that a kid will act out their feelings? If every promise in here was to come to pass and you had what you were believing for, how would you feel? If you had what He says you have, how would you feel? So why don't you act like you already got it? If you'll go ahead and feel the way you'd feel if the promise were to come to pass, I have news for you. The sooner you begin to feel it, the faster you will see it. Amen. Never mind. That's not even the message. Some of you go, what? The sooner you feel it, the faster you'll see it. I could say to you that faith and feelings go hand in hand. If you begin to feel what He says is yours, you'll begin to see it faster. But change your feelings. Come on. Begin to act like you are who He says you are. Begin to feel like you already have abundant life. Go ahead and let yourself be excited about being His child and His son, His daughter. Go ahead. Just act like you're His favorite. Just act like you're the head, not the tail, above and not below. Just act like you can do all things through. And say, just go ahead and feel special. Go ahead and feel like you're royalty. Just go ahead. Man, I don't know much about sports, but I guarantee you there ain't nobody that's a winner walk out on the football field feeling like they're a loser. If you walk out on the field feeling like a loser, stay in a locker room. If you got up this morning and you're walking around feeling like God doesn't love you, go home fast. My job is not to make you feel better. There's a lot of people think my job is to make you feel better. No, if you feel bad, you're stuck. Because feelings are a choice. You can choose to feel better. You can choose. Listen, I got grandkids. They choose to frown. In fact, they use those feelings against Papa. They do. They throw little fits. Lay down in front, throw these little tantrums, thinking that if they use those feelings, they'll change my mind. You know what we do with them? Send them to their room. Boy, I still wish that would work on adults. It's just that nobody'd be at work. Never mind. It's not even my, this ain't even what I'm preaching about. Luke chapter 24, I'm gonna read 11 verses here. It's the Sunday after Easter. The Sunday after resurrection. Luke 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. Say they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you? Say with me. He told you. You ever look at somebody and say, I told you so? He told you this. Remember all those times he started saying, hey, I'm going to go, I'm going to die, and on the third day, I'm going to be raised. He told them over and over again. He told them. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified on the third day, and be raised again. And then they remembered. And when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others were with them who told this to the apostles, but they did not believe the women. Every woman ought to go, Because their words seemed like nonsense to them. N.T. Wright says that Easter ought to be an eighth-day festival where we start drinking champagne as the sun comes up. N.T. Wright says that it's not hard to wonder why the world doesn't stop and take notice of the resurrection because no Christians are throwing their hats in the air. That we don't use confetti. That we don't make parades. You see, if we really believe in the resurrection this morning, we still ought to be throwing our hats in the air. If we really believe in the resurrection, we still should be having a festival, a celebration. Listen, we once were dead, but now we're alive. Easter is not an event that we celebrated last week. Easter is a person. And too many people think Easter is an event that's marked by a calendar. And the reality of it is Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Easter's not the celebration of an event. It's a relationship with a person. And this morning, we should be jumping up and down and twirling because if he's alive, touch somebody and say, if he's alive, I'm alive. Man, I wish the church would act like they were alive. It's funny to me how no one was standing at the tomb going, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Oh, no. No. He had told them, hey, on the third day, listen, you're better than they are because you would have been there at midnight going, 10, 9, 8, 7. You understand, only believers come to the tomb. Only believers. But believers don't have any faith. I'm so tired of people telling me they're a believer. Listen, them women were believers. They believed all kinds of things. They believed he was Jesus. They believed he was the Son of God. But they didn't know that he had been risen from the dead. There's a huge difference between being a believer. Believers can believe in a Baptist, a Methodist, Episcopalian. Believers can believe in pre, mid, post-trib. Believers can believe you ought to drink wine or grape juice. Believers believe all kinds of crap. Doesn't mean they know Jesus. There's a big difference between being a believer and having faith. It doesn't say live by belief. I'm tired of people talking to me about, well, I don't believe they can do that and go to heaven. I don't believe they can do that. Who cares what you believe? They were believers, and they came walking up to the tomb, and they were shocked that nobody was home. You keep going back to graves wondering why. Listen, I don't go to gravesides very often. Ain't nobody there. Only person I know that's there is me. And then I'm wondering, what am I doing standing here? Somebody paid $1,000 for the rock in a field so I can stand here, and I'm the only one here. Think about it. You know how people are standing in church this morning? Never mind. See, resurrection is not an event. Resurrection is the celebration of the authentic, the real, that coming back together of the original. It is a life that can't be exhausted or extinguished or exterminated. It's not a belief that's been settled. It's a commitment to a person that has lived out moment by moment, day by day, that the reality of his life is now shining through our life. Not standing looking at a tomb, no. Faith demands that I come into a relationship with this God who many people understand the event. Very few people have an encounter with the person of the event. See, my whole responsibility is not to teach you what to believe. I'm really tired of people thinking that preachers should teach you what to believe. No, preachers should bring you into an encounter with the one that you should follow. He didn't come to give you a better set of beliefs. He came to give you a person to love. And when you fall in love with the person, you'll figure out, I'm not following your belief system. I'm following Jesus. He set aside the law because the love is more real than the law. They come expecting to find a body of a dude, and really. See, you can commit to a set of laws, but you have to admit Jesus is alive. Yes. To live in a relationship of encounter, to understand that his crucifixion demands that we live in that relationship, that it's no longer I, but it's Christ. There are all kinds of people today that have turned and walked away from the resurrection, and they're walking down this road to Emmaus, and Jesus had to show up. You remember these two dudes? They're going down the road, they're leaving town, and Jesus comes walking beside them, and they go, are you the only one that doesn't know what's going on? Have you ever talked to Jesus and acted like he didn't understand who you were? It's so funny to me how we go to prayer and we really think we're helping God out by telling him what's happening. God, do you understand that this is going on in my life? And Jesus is standing right beside you going, Do you know he knows what you need before you ask him? That prayer is not about getting what you want, but prayer is about coming to know who you are and who he is. It's about living in a relationship. These two guys are walking down the road. Jesus shows up. They don't know who it is. And as they're walking, he goes, why don't you tell me what's been happening? They said, well, listen, there was this dude from Nazareth, and he told us he was the Messiah. And he went in town, and they killed him, and they put him, and we're leaving. We were hoping he was the one, but oh, well. We were hoping this was the moment. And remember, he broke the bread, and their eyes were opened, and they went, oh. Do you know you can be in the presence of God and not even know who he is? And all of a sudden, they go back. What do they go back to? An empty tomb. They go back to this thing that they were hoping, but now. See, they didn't go to the tomb because of a cross. They didn't go to the tomb because someone preached a sermon. They went there out of obligation. Do you know how many people today are serving God out of obligation? They're serving God out of this fear that if they don't serve God, they won't get to go to heaven. They go back to the tomb, and the Bible says that they were frightened by the reality that there was nobody home. They were frightened by the reality that someone had stole the body. They were afraid of finding nothing. And they get there, and they find nothing. You talk about negative people going to expect the worst. Touch your neighbor and say, maybe you ought to expect the best and not the worst. These people went expecting the worst, not even believing the best. They were believing the worst. You see, I have news for you. You have to at least begin to walk through life expecting the best. Quit rehearsing the past or worrying about the future, but at least begin to believe that God has your best at mind. And that they were afraid. The Bible says that they were scared. They were afraid. They fell on the ground, and they had to be asked, why are you looking for it here? Why are you looking in these places? Why are you looking? They'd been told time after time after time after time again. Look at your neighbor and say, you are alive with Christ. The Bible says that if any man is buried with him in death, he shall be raised with him in resurrection. And the Bible says that they went about teaching the resurrection. The Bible says in Adam all die, but in Christ all are made alive. Touch your neighbor and say, you have resurrection life. Now, you see, it is stupid religion that keeps telling you that life eternal is after you die. No, life eternal is after he died. You get eternal life after he died, not after you die. Because the Bible says if any man believes in him, he will never die. Listen, you may take this thing off, but you're not going to die. You're going to live forever. You're living forever right now. It's just scary to believe that I might be more alive than I am dead. See, some of you keep getting up in the mirror expecting yourself to die. Never mind, I want to just stop. see, as followers of Christ, could I suggest to you that we should be the most fully alive thing that anybody ever sees? Amen. That when people bump into you, see, if people bump into you, you should know that you are living in a resurrected way. If people bump into you, they should be bumping into Easter. They should be bumping into one who was dead but now is alive. Listen, people don't want to hear what you believe. They want to encounter who you know. They want to encounter that life that you've encountered. They want you to share that good news that Jesus is alive and so am I. Let me talk to you. Would you quit preaching to them about their sin and talk to them about Him? Because the more you talk to Him about Him, see, Jesus didn't come so that you could have right thinking or right believing. He came to put you in right relationship. And when you get in a right relationship, you'll have right thinking and right actions. I've got news for you. We've been telling people how to think and how to act and never introduced them to Jesus. If they ever have a relationship with Jesus, their brain and their action. Yes. Am I making any sense? Did you know that you change people's lives by mentoring them? You put them with somebody and they apprenticed with somebody and then they can do what the master can do. If you just go ahead and introduce them. Of course, now I'm presupposing that some of you have mastered your relationship with Jesus and not just a set of doctrine. Oh, notice how quiet it gets in this room. See, most Christians in America today have mastered the do's and don'ts, but don't know anything about. You do understand that what gets you excommunicated, there are many that prophesy in my name. There are many that heal. There are many that do that. They have huge ministries. They've accomplished great things. They've built great buildings. They've wrote great books. They've done all kinds of things. But they don't know me. Guess what gets you ushered out of the wedding party? Guess what gets you ushered out of the banquet? Not what you did or didn't do, but the fact that you either know or don't know. Oh. There's too many people spending way too much time trying to make sure they got all the right doctrine and all the right behavior when they're missing the point. You should be sitting at His feet getting to know Jesus. Because if you get to know Jesus, oh well, am I making any sense? They did everything that He told them to do, but they really didn't know who He was. Because if they had known who He was, they would have realized death could not hold Him. If they had really known who He was, they wouldn't have been wasting their time down at the general store buying spices. They wouldn't have spent their time putting that stuff together because they took all these spices. Now who are they going to use it on? Oh, well. Touch your neighbor and say, if He's alive, I'm alive. Say it out loud. He's alive, I'm alive. Second, the first Sunday after Easter. Last Sunday we celebrated He's alive. How about this Sunday we celebrate you're alive? Of course, that might change the way you behave if you ever begin to believe, hey, I'm alive. Amen. I'm not dead. And most people are afraid to be alive because they're afraid if they live life, they might do something that would cause them life. Never mind. See, it took me 55 years to realize I had been living the way I thought I was supposed to live, afraid of what you might think. The last 4 years, I've decided I don't care what you think. I'm just going to live life and live life abundantly. It's amazing what you do when you decide to enjoy living. When you decide to enjoy living, life seems to be worth living. You're staring at me like you've been going to church all your life. What do you mean, Pastor? Listen, most churches can rob you of living. You can be so afraid of having fun that you never get any. Fun. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm fully alive. You don't want to hang around me, you'll probably start laughing. You don't want to hang around me, you'll start giggling. I mean, they'll give you some stupid diagnosis and I'll fall down laughing and you'll think I've lost my mind. I mean, I will stop reacting to life and start acting in life because I know who is with me. And once I know who is with me, then I know nothing can be against me because I'm in relationship with the one that walked through the tomb but didn't stay there. What do you do the Sunday after Easter? You live. You live. You live. What do we do now? We go live. We go out into the world and we make people hungry for living the way we live because we're having more fun. And yeah, but if I hang out, listen, we live 15 miles from a bunch of folks that think they can't be with other people. Jesus spent his entire life hanging out with a bunch of sinners and tax collectors and adultering women and dummies and that. He spent his whole life. Listen, I have more fun hanging out with sinners than I do with Christians. Amen. Have you ever met a Christian? That's my point. Oh, Lord, I feel pretty smart aleck this morning. I've been sitting in rooms. Man, all these things, we are more than conquerors. Say more. More than conquerors. I want to know what's more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. Meaning there was no fight. If you are more than a conqueror, you didn't have to break sweat. If you're more than a conqueror, you didn't even go onto the battlefield. If you're more than a conqueror, you never got in the game. If you're more than a conqueror, he won the war, gave you the prize. If you're more than a conqueror, he took the test, got the grade, here's the trophy. If you're more than a conqueror, you win, didn't lift any, he did it. You didn't do it, he did it. We're just celebrating what he did. David took down Goliath and said, you're the conqueror. I didn't do anything. No kidding. You do understand resurrection. Easter means you won without fighting. Amen. Oh, well. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, if God is for us, I said, if God is for us, who then can be against us? I can do all things through Christ. This is an amazing thing. This is an amazing thing. Mary Magdalene hung behind. You got to get this picture. Mary Magdalene, the woman thrown in the dust, the adultering woman. Do I need to go further? The lady with a bad story. That lady, the one they wanted to stone. That lady, she hung behind. She's the first human being to talk to Jesus. And she thought he was gardener. They didn't know who he was on Emmaus. She thought he was the gardener. And he calls her by name. The woman thrown in the dust, he calls her by name. What do you do the first Sunday after Easter? Hear your name. Hear your name. Hear Jesus calling your name. Because when he comes out of the tomb, he's calling your name. He's naming you. He's calling everyone. You know what he's doing this morning? He's saying your name. She goes to grab him. He says, don't touch me because I have yet ascended to my Father and to your Father. Wait a minute. He's been teaching them to pray our Father, but now he says, hey, he's my Father and your Father. Do you understand what has happened in this tomb is that you've become a member of the family of God. You've become adopted. You're no longer an orphan. You're a son and a daughter, and you didn't do anything. In fact, you couldn't figure out where he was. Say with me, our Father, his Father, my Father, his God, my God. Isn't this interesting? She never said, repeat after me. He just said, hey, you're in. You're in. You're in the family now. My Father is your Father. You do understand, because he got out, we're in. Oh, you didn't get it. When he came out of the tomb, you got in the garden. Oh, you still haven't got it. When he drove Adam out of the garden, he put two angels so that they couldn't get back in. When he sat on the mercy seat in the temple, he put two angels there to guard the presence. Now those two angels are sitting where he was laying, and they're saying, hey, the garden is open again.
You can go back in again. You're back in the family again. I've restored you to where you were in the beginning. The angels are no longer guarding the tree of life. They're saying, here is. You can go back. You can live forever. It's yours. It's my Father and your Father. You're back in the presence. Some of you need to be celebrating because you know you don't deserve it. You know you can't earn it. You know tomorrow you'll probably misbehave, but it has nothing to do with you. It has to do that when he got out, you got in. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, amen. I'm just in. What do? The first Sunday after Easter? You live. You live like you're alive. You live like a new person. You live like a new creation. Listen to me. You need to wash your mind of all the religious stuff that's trying to tell you you need to earn. Heaven is not the price for good behavior. Heaven is not the price for good behavior. Huh. The Bible says that heaven lives inside of you. Listen. Good behavior helps you live better now. I've been drunk. I don't like the feeling. And the morning after sucks. Listen, I would tell you to get off of drugs and alcohol because it'll help you live better now. I don't necessarily think it'll send you to hell. I think it makes life now hell. Oh, well. I would tell you to stay with one partner your entire life because it's better for you. Now. I would tell you that even sinners know that if you make better choices, life is healthier. We make it heaven or hell issues. How about just being smart? Let's quit tying good behavior to heaven or hell. Let's just tie good behavior to smart. It is smart to watch what you eat. It is smart to watch where you go and what you do. That's just smart. I just didn't teach my children, hey, you'll be better if you keep a job. If you learn how to say please and thank you. If you learn how to live life in respect to other people, that's just, you don't have to threaten people with hell to behave. How about just tell them the rewards of how you live better if you avoid some things and if you show up at time. I mean, I have a friend, the best thing he ever taught me was pull your pants up, turn your hat around, and get a job. That is just good advice. He did not say that if you leave your pants down and your hat on the side, don't get a job, you're going to hell. He just said life here would be better if you pull your pants up, turn your hat around, and get a job. I don't understand why you'd wear the thing backwards anyway. Stay with me, Sunday after Easter. This is really, I've been in a hospital all week. Say, Sunday after Easter. I'm alive. That out loud, I'm alive. See, Easter is the announcement he's alive. Do you know the least attended Sunday service in the year is? The Sunday after Easter. The least attended Sunday in the whole year is this Sunday. You want to know why? Because we did it last Sunday. That was it, right? We showed up for the birthday party. We showed up for the celebration. Now, some of them won't be back to Christmas. We call them CE people. We have a whole file in our computer. CE people. Oh, Yahweh. I've been doing this 33 years. Oh, Yahweh. Who are those people? Oh, they'll be here at Christmas and Easter. I got the important stuff covered. I mean, they told me everything that was wrong last Sunday, and next Christmas they'll tell me everything that's wrong again, and then they'll wonder why it stays wrong. Well, because if you don't stay following Jesus in a consistent way, you'll still keep making bad decisions, and life will be hell for you. And I'm not telling you you're going to hell. I'm just telling you you're living in hell because you don't know how to stay following Jesus. Some of you know who I'm talking about. Take them the tape. Tell them to download it. It's free. It's the Sunday after Easter. I'm alive. Amen. I'm alive. I'm living this life that's been given to me, not because of anything I've done, but because
I'm following him. We begin to understand. See, rumor has it that he has risen. See, I don't care whether you're Peter, the two people on the road to Emmaus, Mary Magdalene, or Thomas. Each of them are different. Each of us experience Easter. Each of us experience Jesus in different ways. How many of you know you experience Jesus differently? Because some of you are one color and some of you are another color. Some of you are short, some of you are tall, some of you are fat, some of you are skinny, some of you are Methodist, some of you are Baptist, some of you are just pagans, some of you, oh, sorry. Right? You're just all different. And so you experience, have you ever had somebody try to tell you that their experience needs to be your experience? See, some of you here talk in tongues, and some of you think if you talk in tongues, the devil showed up. So it's true. Some of you think you ought to stand, some think I ought to sit, some of you think we ought to have hymnals. It's too much work. Some of you, see, we all experience Jesus differently. That's why we have all these denominations, because we want to huddle with other people that have the same experience that we have. So that's okay. But I want you to know that your experience and your isn't what saves you, but it doesn't matter who or how or when they experienced Jesus, they all said the same thing. It doesn't matter whether it was Pete or whether it was Mary or it was Thomas or it was the two men. They all said the same thing. They all described the encounter with Jesus the same way. He's alive. He's alive. Can I tell you that the only thing you can know for sure when you meet Jesus is? You can think he's against this, for that, over. You can make up all kinds of things about him, but the thing you cannot escape is he's alive. He once was dead, but now he's alive. What makes him Lord is that he conquered death. What makes him worth following is that he's alive. He's the only. And if you read the book very much, it says that others who were dead followed him out of there. And they went around testifying that when he got up, I got up. That when he got out, I got out. The only thing you need to know about Christianity is Jesus is alive. If you know Jesus is alive, then this Sunday you can go, and so am I. If he got out, I got out. And now I'm going to live like one who is alive. Am I making any sense? If he rose, I rose. If you don't believe that, I mean, in the Hebrew, resurrection means to get up. If you take to get up and put it in popular culture, it means to bounce back. I've often wondered in my own mind, and I know my own mind is a little weird, but I've often wondered how many times the Roman soldiers had to put him in the tomb. No one has my brain. I know. See, just one time, I want to do the play where they carry him and put him in the tomb, and as they're rolling it back, he's going, hi. My version is it was hard to keep him in there. My version is they put him in, and he goes, hi. And they put him back up, and they put him back in there, hi. And they put him back in there, put him back in there, hi. I mean, you've heard me do the sermon on, hello, it's me. I mean, I wonder, but see, I'm convinced that most religious people today still have him tucked away. I'm convinced that most Christians today on the Sunday after Easter have tucked Jesus away. We celebrated his resurrection, but we tucked him back away on the shelf somewhere in our house, and we don't want him to walk with us. We want to tuck him away. So I'm convinced people walked out of here last Sunday and they put him back up there somewhere and they just kept living their life. No, faith is to continue to walk with the one that's out. Quit tucking him away in your life somewhere. Pull him out on Sunday for a few minutes. Put him away somewhere and pull him out when you go through a trial or a trauma or trouble. No. Jesus is not something you tuck away, close the thing, and then come back and take him out. No. No, if Jesus is alive, he takes over everything. He takes over your head, your heart, your mind, your hands. He just takes over. He's just in control. He's now Lord. And it's like, okay, Lord, well, just okay. I mean, I found myself this week in a place where a lot of hurting people. And I'm walking down. Have you ever been to a hospital? Nobody looks at each other. It's hard to get people to look at you. And the Lord began to speak to me and asking me to pray for people. I don't want to pray for people. I want them to pray for me. I mean, haven't you ever been in a situation you don't want to pray for anybody else? You just wanted somebody to pray for you. You don't want to feel sorry for anybody else. You want everybody else to feel sorry for you. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm not like that. Go ahead, lie to the other one. I'm not like that. Can I tell you that when you're in a situation and you're wanting everybody to feel sorry for you, the best way to get out of that is pray for somebody else. The best way to get out of the mess that you're in is notice that somebody else has a... I begin to look for people. Can I pray for you? I wasn't praying for them. I was trying to pray for me. Because I figured if I gave it away, I had selfish motives, Stephanie. I had selfish. Let me pray for your kid so that... Here, let me give this to you. And then, what do you do on the Sunday after Easter? You live. How do you live? You go give it away. The best... Listen, you do understand the question that St. Peter's going to ask you when you get to heaven. When you stand at the pearly gates, there's a question that they're going to ask you. It's not going to be, do you know Jesus? No, you're going to be standing there at the pearly gates, and here's the question that's going to come. Who'd you bring with you? Who'd you bring with you? I mean, if you know that Jesus is the Son of God, if you know that Jesus is alive and you're alive, don't you want to bring someone with you? I mean, the day after Easter, the Sunday after Easter, what you should be doing is running out in the neighborhood going, hey, you got to get what I got. You got to know who I know. You need to go with me where I'm going because this dude, am I making any sense? What do you do after Easter? You go get others. You go get others. People will get lost over the next 52 weeks talking about what sin is. They will get all mesmerized about whether you can do this and still go to heaven, whether you, well, they'll spend, religious people will waste energy instead of going and inviting someone to come and know the Jesus that is now alive. Am I making any sense? America, you need to shut up about what you believe in, and you need to start bringing people into the faith of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you do that by saying, here, come with me. They were believers when they walked before that tomb, but they had no faith. Believers reduce everything down to a set of standards. People of faith realize, I don't understand, but he's alive, and I'm just going to have a... Am I making sense? Yes. It's the Sunday after Easter. Touch somebody and say, I am fully alive. I could keep going, but I think. I can remember. Okay, I'll do that. How many of you are Hebrew scholars? Any Hebrew scholars in here? When I took a hermeneutics class and took Hebrew and Greek, they kept telling us that we needed to define words for people. I noticed something several years ago. I could tell you what it meant in Hebrew and you didn't care. Amen. You've never been impressed with the fact that I knew some Hebrew words. And then they created Google. And now I can't even impress you with the fact that I know. But in the Hebrew... This was a setup. In the Hebrew, the word sin means to miss the mark. How many of you have ever missed the mark? Right? We've all missed the mark. But did you know that in the Aramaic, the word sin means to miss the point? You know, people, they missed the point. They showed up at the tomb, and the whole point of the cross, they missed it. Can I tell you, the Sunday after Easter, don't miss the point. The point is, if he is risen, you are risen. That if he's alive, you're alive. And if you're alive today, It's so that you can enjoy living. It's so this afternoon you go home with whoever you love, whoever, and you eat McDonald's or you eat whatever you do when football and basketball is over. If you go home and tell me you watch hockey, don't invite me. Or soccer. I don't get the point. How can you be offsides just because you're fast? I don't get it. But the point is, if he's alive, then I'm here to announce to you, you're alive. And it's a real shame not to enjoy the life he's given you. And many times people are missing the life they've been given because they're wanting a life they have not been given. Many times we miss how great our life is because we're comparing it to somebody else's life. Could I suggest to you that the life you have, the body you have, the spouse you have, the children you have, that it's not a mistake, that God has given you this life in Hutchinson, Kansas, or somewhere nearby. And that the best thing you can do the Sunday after Easter is go be graciously thankful, enjoy it, celebrate it. Can I tell you that this week, to be able to touch Hoxton, just touch him, because we couldn't pick him up. And there was a few moments there. Man, we were standing in faith, but there's a few moments there, Sherry. Whew, those doctors, they say the most. I know they're doing their job. Don't write me letters. They were great. They are great. But can I tell you that every moment we'd get to go in and touch Hawkeye. Was precious. And the first time they handed that baby to Heather, that's precious. Wonder how many precious things are going to be in your life this afternoon. Don't miss them. Listen, the reason I'm a follower of Jesus is because he's alive and he's given me life, and I don't want to miss any moment. Come on, some of you in this room know what I'm talking about, what you would do for one more moment. I've had people tell me that, Pastor, if I could just have one more moment. Well, love the one you're with. Love the one you're with. When you can't love the one you love, the one, be where you're at. Be who you're with. Live now. It's a Sunday after Easter. Come back next week. I'll be better. July the 2nd, 2014. I got up early in the morning. It had rained something horrible in Davenport, Iowa. There was rain all around, tornadoes. I was on my motorcycle. Wednesday, July the 2nd, 2014, I had strict orders from Heather to be back here for the picnic. It's a 14-hour ride. I'm on my motorcycle, and I'm running down the road, and I hate four lanes. So I'm doing all these blue roads, these back roads, and I'm running down this road, and you couldn't get across it. Water was over the road. So I turned around, went back up this way, and back this way. Water's over the road. I'm beginning to get a little concerned about being back the picnic. And so finally I found myself sitting in this little town called Shelbyville, Iowa. And I pulled into this old quick shop in Shelbyville, Iowa. And there were these old farmers standing around this old pickup truck chewing and drinking bad coffee. I don't know how you do that. I'd get confused and drink out of the wrong cup. But yeah. And I'm talking to them about how to get out of wherever it is I'm at. And I go, I don't know, son. It ain't ever rained like this before. I don't know whether you can get out or not. You might be stuck here. And So I went inside and got a local newspaper and a bad cup of coffee and sat down on the bench. And this mangy old dog came over and started licking my hand. Pretty soon the old man drove off. I'm sitting there trying to read his old newspaper and drink this bad cup of coffee, and this dog, flea bitten, mangy mutt. And I look up across the road with the most beautiful field of yellow little flowers. The hills kind of, the sun shining. I can hear the birds singing. And the world stopped. And there was the Lord. And he started whispering to me. I mean, come on, you ever had one of those moments? And there he was in Shelbyville, Iowa, with a mangy dog and a bad cup of coffee. I could go get you my journal right now and show you what I wrote out of that. What am I trying to say to you? It's isn't very complicated. Don't miss a bad cup of coffee, a mangy dog, and Shelbyville, Iowa. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. The stuff the Lord spoke to me in that moment, I've lived for a couple, 3 years. You don't want to miss that moment. What do you do the Sunday after Easter? Live those moments.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Father's House. We hope you stay connected by following us online at fathershouse.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using @TFHHutch.